We've been talking the last 2 weeks, and this will be the third and final week, on the subject of praise, the language of faith. Take a stance. And but we've also been talking about developing a lifestyle of praise. And, you know, praise is a genuine appreciation for who God is, what He's spoken to us through His Word, and what He's done. You know, praise, you look at a lot of different places in the Bible, and praise can be expressed through singing, shouting, clapping, has all types of different praise, lifting up your hands, kneeling down, bowing, prostrate, dancing. Dancing, playing music, all of it unto the Lord. It's all unto the Lord. So what keeps us from expressing ourselves in this way? I'm not saying, I'm not talking about this church, because this church, you know, we're all good here. But what keeps us from those things that I just listed, what keeps us from expressing our praise to God in those types of ways? We're too dignified. Well, we got some Bible on being dignified. Now, I'm not saying that we need to be doing somersaults down the aisles and swinging from the lights and, you know, running across the backs of the chairs and all that. But if God tells you to, I expect you to do it. But anyway, but if we look at this in 2 Samuel chapter 6, first starting at verse 16, Ark of the Covenant's coming back. It says, "Now as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, son Saul's daughter, looked through her window and saw King David leaping and whirling." When you talk about leaping and whirling, I know none of you ever done this as a kid. Now, somebody get ready to catch me because I might get dizzy. But you're whirling around. I have a tendency to walk to the edge of the stage and sometimes have to catch myself. But said that he was leaping and that he was dancing and he was whirling before the Lord. And Michal, his wife, she despised him in her heart. Whoo! And if you drop down here to verse 21... it says, and after all that, it says, "So David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this.'" Whoo, he's dancing, he's leaping, he's whirling. And he says, because of the Lord, because I love God, he says, "I'm going to be even more undignified than that. I'm going to praise him with every ounce of my being." The Bible talks about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is everything within us. David said, I'm going to praise him that way, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then it says here, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. What keeps us from praising God the way that we should be praising God? Has God done anything great in your life? Okay, I got four people. Okay, good. I'm thankful. At least I got some people on my team here today. But he's done some great things in our lives. I know that when we're watching the World Series, we're watching the Chicago Cubs in 2016, November 2nd, 11:45 p.m., and they win the World Series. Now, some people would say, well, you can only say that once. But I get to say it once. I'm sitting on the edge of my bed. We're in Harrisburg, Illinois, Carrie and I are. We went down there to the place, Garden of the Gods, I think it's called down there, hiked around. I'm sitting on the edge of my bed. Carrie's fast asleep. I'm watching the World Series. Hits 11:45. Cubs win. And you know what? And it was my birthday, November 2nd. It was my birthday. I said, "Happy birthday to me." Of course, I didn't scream it because she was sleeping. But if she wasn't sleeping, "Happy birthday to me," I would have screamed. And we'll do that for things here in the natural world. For the Chicago Bears when they won the Super Bowl. Anyway, we won't go that route. But we do those types of things for natural things. But when it comes to the things of God, who's pulled you up out of a pit, who's taken you from death to life, who's redeemed you, who's building a mansion for you in heaven, who's done miraculous things in your life, and we're like, praise the Lord. It's no condemnation. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is just reminders that we serve somebody that is greater than any professional baseball team, any professional football team, and we should get excited about it. I'm excited. But things that keep us from expressing ourselves, we're too dignified, we're too proud, we'll get embarrassed. I used to get embarrassed. I was out at school. Actually, it wasn't school. It was Winter Bible Seminar, and I've told this before. But I'm standing there in my seat. Praise and worship is just gotten over, but they're ministering. Rhema's a big church, just so you know. Probably 2,500 people there, 2,000 on a Sunday morning. And I'm in the back row there, and the Lord's speaking to me. And he's telling me to run around the sanctuary, which doesn't make you any more spiritual than somebody who doesn't. But in that moment, he's telling me, because I got it welling up on the inside of me. I got some stuff stirring on the inside of me and just want to explode. He says, well, then take off. Let it loose. I'm standing there in the pew like this. And the preacher who'd been ministering on the stage came up to me. I'm clear back here. He comes from the stage past 2,000 people before he got to me. Walks up and stops right in front of me. Looks me in the eye and says, you might as well. And as soon as he said that, I took off around the sanctuary. But you know what it did? It released something on the inside of me. It released this, you could call it pride. I don't want people to look at me funny. It released a pride on the inside of me that said, no, I'm just going to do whatever God tells me to do. And I've gotten to the point now where, I'm not saying I'm 100% there, but if God tells me to, I'm gone. This wasn't anything dramatic, but you might have seen me walking back and forth over here this morning. I got some things going on up in here. Got some things going on in here. And all of a sudden, I started laughing because the devil's trying to speak to me. And I just started laughing. Because you get out of here. You can't win. I mean, we got to learn to hate some things. Oh, we can't hate. We're Christians. We can't hate. I hate everything about the devil. Everything about it. And I'm going to tell him so. Well, don't say that too loud. He might hear you. Well, it's exactly the person I want to hear me. So, you know, I believe that we need to eventually all of us will get to a certain point where as Christians we say, here, let me throw this cloak of embarrassment off, this cloak of pride off, this cloak of dignity off. Let's throw those things off. And if God speaks to us, just do what he says to do. Now, he may tell you, just sit there in your seat. Well, then sit there in your seat. That's what I want you to do. But I'm looking for the manifest presence of God in this place. I believe that's what we had here this morning. Now, that wasn't anything that was planned. I wasn't even thinking about that. The Lord, as I'm up here speaking right now, I'm expecting him to speak to me. I'm listening for him to say something to me. Everything that I'm saying right now, none of that's in my notes, just so you know. But when we had the people come up here this morning, he spoke to me and said, there's some people carrying some stuff around with them right now. Said, you need to deal with that before we go any further. You don't want them sitting here the whole service. Ann said that she had the cracked pelvic bone. She was in pain. I don't want her sitting there in pain the whole service. And you know what? Neither does he. And you saw the response. She was praying for her. We didn't pray for her to receive her healing. We spoke to the situation. It says to speak to the mountain. Her mountain was this pelvic bone thing that's going on. And she fell yesterday and agitated it. And she was in pain. So let's speak to the pelvic bone. Let's speak to the pain. Use the authority that he's given us. And let's see him work. And that's what we did. So we're talking about here about the take a stance of praise, language of faith. We want to develop a lifestyle of praise. And the last 2 weeks, I've defined what it meant to be to have a lifestyle. And I want to read that just one more time here again. Lifestyle. The consistent and integrated way a person or group lives, encompassing their habits, choices, values, and behaviors, something that is deeply ingrained, part of someone's way of life. It suggests that this person or group of people doesn't just occasionally engage in the activity, but rather it's a defining aspect of their daily routine and their identity. Now, I know a professional baseball player. I know his sister-in-law also. And he was a baseball, he was out of Bloomington, Illinois. He played for the Tampa Bay Rays. He was the played for the Houston Astros. He was a third base coach for the Tampa Bay Rays, and he was a third base coach for the Boston Red Sox. You don't just wake up one morning and say, I want to be a baseball player, and then you become a professional baseball player. For him to get to that level, it became who he was. It consumed his life. He would go to bed thinking about baseball. He would get up thinking about baseball. He would practice baseball. He would watch films of baseball. He would study other baseball players. He would work. He'd be in batting cages until the sun went down. And then he'd find a batting cage where they had lights. He'd be in the batting cage until they turned the lights out on him. It consumed his life. It became his identity. It was his lifestyle. It's who he was. It wasn't something he just engaged in occasionally. It's something he did all the time. It becomes his lifestyle. Now, when I think of a professional basketball player, what's one of the first names that comes to your mind? Michael Jordan. The GOAT. Anyway, Michael Jordan. When I think of basketball, Michael Jordan, first thing that comes to my mind. Greatest of all times. That's what GOAT means. Greatest of all time. When I think of a police, and it consumed his life, a police detective. When you're a detective and you got a case, that case consumes you. It becomes who you are. You think about it when you're at work. When you think about it when you're not at work, you think about it all the time until you solve that case. It consumes you. As ministers, I go home thinking about this church. I go home thinking about you guys. Some people tell me I should turn that off. I can't. I think about you guys. I think about the church. I think about the direction the church is going. I think about the people who aren't here today and wanting them here. I think about what we're going to do as a church and some of the ministries that we're already starting to reach out in. We laid some groundwork over the last year, and now we're starting to reach out in some areas. We have a few youth here today, but we also have about 8 of them that aren't here today. And I know they're out of town too. I think about them. Okay, what are they doing? I want to get them here. I think about, we got the baptism coming up. You know, and I think about, okay, I need to talk to the individuals that are getting baptized. I want to put some things into the, I think about this church. It, to a point, kind of consumes me. Over the last year that we've been here, a little over a year we've been here, I spend anywhere from 10 to 12 hours a day at the church, Monday through Thursday, and a half a day on Friday. I want to be here because it's just, what God has called you to do, you want to be a part of it. But it consumes you. It becomes a lifestyle. But we need to develop the same lifestyle when it comes to praising God. It becomes something that we need to do. It's something that we desire to do. Why? Because he's done so many great things for us. He did the ultimate thing for us, which was dying on the cross for us. And I want to praise him for that. But it needs to become a lifestyle. It has to be something that is so ingrained into us that when we think of God, all we can do is praise. Lift up our voice. Now, you don't have to walk around Walmart just, praise the Lord! If you want to, you know, you can. Now, somebody may call security, but that's okay. But it doesn't mean that you have to go around town just shouting all the time. But man, when you think about Jesus, it should become a lifestyle where you can't help but praise him. And you don't have to even have to say, well, I praise you, Lord, for giving me $20 last week. No, you just praise him because you want to praise him. Because he's good. Because you're the disciples that he loves. I always like that in the book of John. John always referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. I've taken that on for myself. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. And you all should do the same thing. Now, with regards to that definition that I read, I wrote something else down here. So let's let God encompass our habits, our choices, our values, and behavior. Let's let God be deeply ingrained into every aspect of our life. Let's let God be God in our lives and just praise Him. Let it become who... I feel like I'm hitting a wall right here, right now, and I need to kick that ball down. Help me, Holy Spirit. We let God be God in your life. Forget about the things that keep you from expressing your love for Him. Let Him be God in your life. And when He is, in the moments that we think, just even think about Him, praise You, Jesus. I praise You because You're good. I woke up this morning saying that. We're going to get into 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I've been promising that for 2 weeks now. And we are getting into it today. Now, y'all took up too much of my time this morning, but that's okay. We want to fill our lives with praise. And we're going to look at the Jehoshaphat and his kingdom here back in 2 Chronicles 20. And if we look at like the first four verses, you know, Jehoshaphat, he was warned that three armies were coming against him. Anybody ever had anything come against them? We're going to see what these people here did when these armies were coming against them. Had three armies coming against them. What did Jehoshaphat, it says in there that he was afraid. But even in that moment when it says he was afraid, it also said that he positioned himself to seek the Lord. We can go through stuff, and you will go through stuff in your life. It says that weapons are going to be formed against you, but they'll not prosper. Says you're going to encounter trials, but they're not going to overcome you. You're going to win. But you need to position yourself when those trials come. Position yourself in such a way that you're seeking the Lord. And that's what Jehoshaphat and the people did here. It says that Jehoshaphat, he positioned himself to seek the Lord. And it says all of the people following the lead of the king did the same thing. And in verses 5 through 9, it said Jehoshaphat was reminding God, it goes to there, he's reminding God who he is. God, You're a good God. God, You said in the midst of this trial that I'm in, You said You'd never leave me or forsake me. I'm reminding God of who He is and what He said with regard to me. And there's nothing wrong with that. So Jehoshaphat's doing that right here. And so he's reminding God, he's positioning himself to seek the Lord. And you know what? He's on a winning team at that point. He can't lose. And in verses 10 through 11, it was talking about how Jehoshaphat is recounting to God that he would not let him, talking about how these armies that were coming against him, at one point Jehoshaphat wanted to invade, but God wouldn't let him invade those cities, these current armies that were coming against him. So he's talking to God about that, saying, You wouldn't let me go against these three armies earlier, and that when we came up out of Egypt. And now here they are rewarding me with coming after me. And you know, it's just like that sometimes today, where I knew of this preacher, where he would always go the extra mile for the people in his church. One time this one family was broke down alongside the road, had a flat tire, and he drove, I think it was 45 minutes to an hour to go out there and help them, you know, get the family back to their home. And I don't know if he changed the tire or anything like that, but went out there to help them, went out of his way to help them. And the very next week, they found fault with something he said or did, and they left the church. Been helping these people all along. And they leave the church just because at one moment, he may have said or did something when really they could have just went and talked to him. And here now you're looking at these people here. We let them by. We didn't attack them. We didn't go up against them. And now here they are repaying us with coming out to try to defeat us. In verses 12 through 13, you know, it's talking about how the people of Israel, they realized in and of themselves they didn't have the power to defeat these armies. Physically, they couldn't defeat these armies. So all of Judah, like I said earlier, they positioned themselves to seek the Lord. And they prayed and they waited. They didn't beg. We don't have to beg God. When we're in line, doing things in line with His word, we don't have to beg Him. He has to honor his word. Oh, you shouldn't tell God. He has to honor his word. Well, why not? He's not a God that he should lie. So if he said it, then he has to do it. Oh, that's getting kind of bold with God. Now, I'm not getting bold. I respect and awe of God, but I will remind him of his word when I'm faced with a situation. And you know what? I'll praise him all the way to the bank. But they turned, they positioned themselves before God, and they waited. They didn't bawl, they didn't wail, they didn't cry. They stood there and they waited. So now, we're getting into 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 14. So they positioned themselves to seek the Lord, and they waited, knowing that God would answer. So it says here, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men. Oh, it came upon one of the men. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody in the group there, and now he's going to speak and he's going to tell them what's going on. Came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, who was a descendant of Asaph. So the people had earlier turned to sought the Lord. He heard, and now he's answering. When we position ourselves to seek the Lord, stand there and wait until he speaks. He's going to speak. It may not be 10 minutes from now. It might be 10 minutes. But he's going to speak at some point. And when he speaks, he's going to answer. And we've gone over this. When we speak to him, he's going to answer. Because we look at 1 John 5:14 and 15. I've said that verse numerous times here. And it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Who's him? This is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, it says he hears us. So this is the confidence we can have in God. That if we ask anything that's in line with his word, we can know that he hears us. If we ask something goofy that's way out and is crazy, not in line with his word, you're being nuts. He's not listening to that. But if you ask things in line with his word, he says, I hear you. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, which we do because it's in line with his word, his will, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And what do we do at that point? Knowing that we have the petitions that we desired of him, praise you, Jesus! Amen. Come on! Go, God! That's how we should react. Go, Cubs! Ooh, I got a couple of boos out of that one. But that's how we should respond when it comes to the things of God. That should be our language. That should be our lifestyle. That's saying, God, I believe you. You don't lie. I can trust you. I can take it to the bank. I praise you in the morning. Anyway, I praise you at the noontime. Whew. If I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And I've got the things that I've asked. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. This Jehaziel said, he said, listen, all of you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. Listen, Life Point Church. Listen, Pastor Rick. Listen. Okay, I'm listening. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Whoo! When you're faced with something, anybody ever been in a hard spot? I've said it before. I spent 26 years in the Department of Corrections. In a hard spot. Oh, let me clarify. I wasn't locked up. I worked there. Just so you know. I retired from Pontiac Correctional Center. But I found myself in some tough situations. 1994, I got stabbed when I was working over on death row. A few years later, I'm back. Well, the first month that I was there, I'm standing back to back with another officer, surrounded by at least 30 gangster disciples, which is one of the gangs in there. And I'm thinking, I actually said this. I said, well, if this is it, I guess this is it. And then I thought, what did you do to make them mad? Surrounded again outside of the tower by another group of gang members there. Just a bunch of, found myself in some hard spots. But you know what? I'm here today. God was on my side. It wasn't my battle. I stood my ground. Did what he told me to do. This church right here, you know, it's talking about here, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. In 2007, 2008, this church here was founded. And they were told that a Word of Faith church would not make it in Mattoon, Illinois. That could be discouraging. But they didn't trust what other people were saying. The Lord was in this. And he's still in it. And they began to praise God. They began to seek God. The mission statement here at Life Point Church, I've changed it since I've been here. Added some stuff to it. Life Point Church, a place for you to experience how much God cares and provides. A place to embrace the truth of his word and to know his plan for your life. Dedicated to strong relationships with one another and throughout our community. That's one of the first things that I said when I got here, that relationships was key in this place here. That we needed to form better relationships. From the 105-year-olds all the way down to the 3-year-olds needed to be able to interact with one another. And we have. We are that type of a church now. So we're going to praise God because he spoke a word to me. We acted upon that word, did what he told us to do, and we're winning the battle. And that's exactly what they did here. Verse 16, Haziel's given some instructions. It says, tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel, but you will not need to fight. You got 3 armies coming against you, and he's saying you don't need to fight? That's nuts. I don't know of any battle that's ever happened that you didn't have to fight. But he's telling them here, he says, you don't have to fight. He's got a battle plan. Guess what? His plans are better than our plans, just so you know. If you look at Isaiah 55:8, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Praise the Lord! Pass the bacon. Anyway, it's getting close to lunchtime. He's telling they don't have to fight. Well, he's got a plan. He's smarter than they are. He's got a path that he's going to take them down. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah positioned themselves to diligently seek the Lord. And when we diligently seek the Lord, because we operate under a much better covenant than what they did, we have much more. They long for this day that we're currently walking in. All these people back in this day here, the authority that we have. But when we position ourselves to seek the Lord, it says here, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What are you going through in your life? Struggling financially? Well, number one, quit saying you're poor. Quit saying I don't have any money. Because that's exactly what you're going to have. Number two, seek the Lord. God, his ways are higher, thoughts are greater. He'll show us a path. He'll direct us to a job. He'll direct us to an investment. He'll direct us to whatever it may be to release those funds into our lives to where we don't lack for anything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's Bible. So if he's my shepherd, is he your shepherd? If he's your shepherd, he's saying you shall not want. Want for what? Want for anything. Huh. So you'll never hear Rick say, or Carrie, his wife, you'll never hear them say they're poor. We'll always have enough to give to someone else. I'll hang on to it. If anybody needs any money, my wallet will be right here. Just, okay. God and Carrie keep me amply supplied. I went out to Oklahoma here for the last couple of days and helped Sonny back there, helped him move back, and she amply supplied me before I left. So anyway, verse 17, Jehaziel's still speaking here. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. He's saying, God is with you. He's still telling us that today. He's with us. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us. Come on, do you believe that? You should never feel alone. And if you do feel alone, if you're a believer, just turn to God and say, God, I feel alone. And he'll send somebody to you. He'll do something. I don't know what it'll be, but he'll do something. We just need to get to the point where we realize we're not alone, ever. You could be sitting on an island by yourself. You're still not alone. He's always with us. God was with Judah, and they won the battle. And all they had to do was sit back and watch. They didn't have to fight. But you know what? We're in a better position than they are. He's given us such authority over the works of the enemy. Now, Satan is the god of this world. People say, well, God is in control. Well, if he's in control, he's doing a lousy job. Just look around the world today. Well, the Bible talks about how Satan is the god of this world. When they took the bite of that fruit, that kind of opened up the door for that. But you know what? We're in a position where we have power and authority over him. And you know what? That should cause us to shout and to praise. To develop a lifestyle of praise, knowing that the devil cannot beat us. He is under our feet. And he may try to attack us with various things and put a name to it. Well, guess what? Whatever the name is, it's under your feet. We can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It's in the Amplified translation. It says, among them, the god of this world... We just said that. Satan is the god of this world. Has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And in Luke 10:19, we've been given authority. When the armies, Satan, tries to bring people against us. Here, Judah, they had these three armies coming against them. God was on their side. He told them, just stand back, let me deal with this. It's not your battle, it's mine. I'll take care of everything. Well, you know what? With the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of us. We can take this Word of God and we can speak it over whatever the situation is that we're going through, and it has to happen. He's fighting the battle. He uses us. In Luke 10:19, it says, Amplified, listen carefully. I have given you authority. He's given you, if you're a believer, he's given you authority. Authority for what? I've given you authority that you now possess to tread upon serpents and scorpions, or devils and demons. And the ability to exercise that authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That authority, if you're a believer, that authority and power is on the inside of you. Recognize it. Get this word on the inside of you. Recognize that so that when something comes against you, Satan brings something against you, because it's not going to be God that brings something bad against you, just so you know. Bring something against you, you've got the word of God coming out of your mouth. You never enter your battle with your mouth shut. The word of God should be coming out of your mouth, speaking to. When Ann came up here this morning, we spoke 2 Peter 2:24. We didn't pray for her. We spoke to whatever the issue is. Because why? Because that authority, that power has been given to me to speak to things like that. I'm not healing her. It's God that's healing her, but he uses us as a contact point here on this earth. So we got that. We can praise him for that, that we have power and authority over all the works of the enemy. And then in 1 John 4:4, when the devil tries coming against us, it says, little children, believers, dear ones, this is in the Amplified, you are of God and you belong to him and have already overcome. You've already overcome. When he died on that cross, you overcame at that point. You have already... Dear children, any believers in the room, somebody ought to shout right now. Somebody ought to praise right now. We need about a 10-second praise break, if nothing else. Believers in this room, you've already overcome. Authority is on the inside of you to speak to devils and the situations they try to bring against you, to cast devils and demons out, to bind things here on this earth and to loose things from heaven. That authority and that power is on the inside of you. Little children, believers, dear ones, you are of God, you belong to him, and have already overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, which is Satan. The God, our God, who is on the inside of us, is greater than Satan and anything that he could possibly try to conjure up in this world. It's greater. So what's going on in your life right now? You got a struggle going on? Well, guess what? The greater one lives on the inside of you. Praise God! Take a stance of praise. It's our language. The greater one's on the inside of you. And he says that he's given you authority over anything that would try to attack you here on this earth. Woo! Praise the Lord. It's 11:30. Quitting time. Man, we might have to go another week on this because I'm not done. We're going to keep on praising. I'd say if we go ahead and get those, get the kids and bring them back in here, that would be great, and the teachers. But I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get us to realize that this praise, it should be a lifestyle. That whenever we have a victory in our life, we praise God. Whenever we're going through a struggle in our life, we praise God because he's given us his word, he's given us the authority to speak to that situation, and it has to come in line. And so we praise him for that. Everything that we go through in our lives, we should always, it should be something that is so ingrained in us. It should be something that is, it's our identity, it's our routine that we automatically, when we think of God, we praise. It's just something that we need to do. Well, we're going to take a few minutes here this morning. We're not going to devote a whole bunch of time. But I don't like to take this and skip over it lightly, but we're going to share the Lord's Supper here this morning. If you're a believer, we believe in open communion. You don't have to be a member of this church. If you're a believer, we believe and we want you to participate with us and receive communion. But we don't want to skip over it too lightly because everything that we're talking about here today is because of what Jesus did right there. And we're remembering of the light, what he did while he was here on this earth, what he did on the cross, and what he's done since he's went into heaven and says that is available to us. A lot of people think doing this in remembrance of him is that we just sit there with our heads bowed and we got a little tear coming down here of when he died on the cross. Guess what? Jesus ain't on the cross no more. Excuse my English. But he ain't on the cross no more. He's not walking around on this earth anymore where he's limited by his physical body. He sits in heaven where he is omnipresent. He's with each and every one of us no matter where we go. No matter what we're doing, no matter what we face, he's always with us. And we don't have to struggle. If it feels like a struggle is coming on, stop. Look to the heaven. Look up if you have to. And just start praising him. Father, you said you'd take care of me. You'd never leave me or forsake me. You said you would supply all of my need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You said that if I seek your kingdom first, that all these things, material things, would be added unto me. You said that, and so I'm calling on to you. You see my situation. You know what I'm going through. You know what I need before I even pray. But you want me to talk to you, so I'm talking to you. And when he answers, and he will, just like he was doing here with Judah and Jehoshaphat through Jehaziel, when he answers, when you take that position, that stance of faith, and you begin to lift your voice to him and you praise him, he comes on the scene. And he takes care of things. so that we don't ever have to need, don't ever have to want at all. Ushers, you can come forward and go ahead and prepare to distribute the elements. Yes, this is a time that we want to be respectful. But this is a time when we can rejoice as well, that we can praise as well because of what he did for us. And when we partake of the wafer and we partake of the juice, the wafer representing his broken body, he was beaten for us, our transgressions. The blood, the juice representing his blood that was spilled for each and every one of us, that precious blood, that without it, we're doomed. So when I receive communion, I do it respectfully. I look in within myself. But at the same time, I rejoice. I praise. Because of who he is and what he's done. And I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt when I leave this earth, he's already said that he's preparing a mansion for me. I had a friend of mine who passed away here just a couple of days ago, and I'm probably going to be going to her funeral on Tuesday. And whenever I look into the obituaries, I always look, okay, were they a believer? Did they attend church someplace? And she did. They mentioned it in her obituary. Well, you know what? The life that she lived here on this earth, which I believe was pleasing unto the Lord, she's now sitting in the presence of him. Well, that wasn't possible without what he did there on the cross. But she's sitting in the presence of God right now. It said that he's preparing a mansion for her. She's sitting there now rejoicing in him. We can rejoice in him right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We're going to go ahead and open up the elements here and take the wafer out. Isn't it exciting that we don't have to live a hopeless life here on earth? Isn't it worth praising God about? It's just a wafer. It really doesn't even taste good. But you know what? It's not about the wafer. It's about what the wafer represents, the broken body of Jesus. So let's take this wafer and let's break it and let's eat together. And this juice, Welch's, tastes good. The juice makes up for the wafer. But you know what? It's not about the juice. It's about what the juice represents, which was the shed blood of Jesus. Going to that cross, making a way for us, it's another reason to praise. We can be respectful in this time right here. But you know what? After you drink this here, if you want to shout out praise, I'm okay with that too. Because we love him and we're so thankful for what he did for us. Let's drink together. Father, we're so thankful for this day that we've come here together. Father, you told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. All the more as we see the day approaching. And you want us to be here to encourage one another. To love on one another. Give words that edify one another. And so, Father, we're so thankful for your Son and what he did on our behalf. And we're so thankful that he sits now at the right hand, ever making intercession for us. And we're part of that body. So, Father, as we are here today and we've heard your word, we've heard your word about positioning ourselves for praise. We've heard the word that the Spirit of God now lives on the inside of us, which it didn't back then, but it lives on the inside of us, and we have all kinds of authority through you. And we praise you for that. We don't have to struggle in this world today because of what your Son did and what your word says. So, Father, as we leave this place here today, we know that we don't leave you here, but we know that you go with us. Your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth. Your Holy Spirit speaking to us things that only come from the throne room of God. And your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth and showing us things to come. And so, Father, we take comfort in that. We rejoice in that. And we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks for hanging in there. God bless y'all. Y'all are dismissed. Stick around, get a donut if there's one left over, and have some fellowship.